Suddenly occurs to me that it's pretty cool to have a theme song for your message series. That's rather entertaining. James chapter 1. We've been looking at James. This is the second Sunday in a series called Lord of the Dance, understanding that God is orchestrating with his church a dance. And we understand, hopefully some of you at least, that a dance is made up of different steps, different sequences that are repeated and not repeated, some bridges, some things that happen, but it all is intricate and it goes together and it works. And a failure for one part of it to work is going to screw up the whole dance. It's going to change the makeup of the dance. And so that's the parameters. We said that, listen, consider it all joy, pure joy, when you struggle, right? So Bill said, hey, I now know what it's like to struggle trying to sing when I can't. When I can't breathe, right? So we know that life is going to be made up of a bunch of struggles, a bunch of things that we may not necessarily like. So let me debunk something right now on behalf of, this is my stance. If you hear somebody tell you that once you become a Christian, it's God's plan for your life for you to have everything peachy and rosy, you should probably run from that teaching as quickly as possible. That was God's original plan when he put Adam and Eve in the garden. But sin has changed that plan, and God makes it very clear. Jesus outright said, listen, if they hurt me, if they abused me, they're probably going to abuse you also. And so we know that in James, that's what it says. That, listen, part of life is the up and down, the struggles of life. You heard that this morning in the prayer request. We hear that every Sunday. Right, we hear the praises, families, you know, that have been struggling with you know, disease or struggling with waiting for a doctor to tell them something or financially, you know, and that's a struggle. And then God comes in and he takes care of things and he relieves us of that struggle. Sometimes he asks us to continue to go through it, but that's part of the dance. And the key to life, I say all that to say this, that the key to life is how do you keep dancing when you feel like sitting? How do you keep dancing when you've fallen 355 times on the same step in the same place? How do you keep dancing when you keep looking around and everything just keeps seemingly falling apart? Everything you touch seems to break. How do you do life when you have Charlie Brown syndrome? Right, nothing is going to work. And yet that's what God asks us to do. I was talking with a group of pastors, and we were talking about some of the things that God asked people in the Old Testament to do. And specifically, we're talking about, you know, the whole thing with Naaman and the whole thing with Jericho also. And the fact that God asked the Israelites to march around seven times, right, Jericho? And that God asked Naaman to dip into the Jordan, right, seven times. And we were just thinking to ourselves, if we went to our church and we said, hey, God wants us to do this seven times, we wonder how many people, like the first time we would probably have a bunch of people, yeah, let's do it. On the sixth time, we probably would have significantly less, right? And on the seventh time, there might only be the pastor who's walking around, right? And God says, listen, that's who I am. It's not that God couldn't have taken down the walls of Jericho on the first time. It's he wanted to see obedience. And so we have to, as Christians, we have to understand that it's not that God can't do abundantly more than what we want in this church. You know, those of us who want to see it grow, those of us who want to see spiritual growth and physical growth and all those things, it's not that God can't bring 100 people in. And it's not that God can't provide us with what I need, but what he says is, listen, it's a biblical principle that you learn to dance and you be faithful with the little. And then I'll give you more. Now, listen, that's not taught today in a lot of churches, is it? That if we want to get people excited, we just start telling them, do you know that God just wants to give you more and more and more and more? And we forget, like, that's not exactly how God works. What he wants to know is that you're going to be obedient. And so this morning, I want to move on to the next step, and that's in verses 19 to the end of the chapter. And it's one that I'm sure that everybody's been excited about if you read ahead at all, and that's listening and doing. Strong points of all of us, I'm sure. Some of us who are sitting here today are very good at listening. And then there are those like me who aren't so good at listening. And James talks about this, and he says, like, listen, here's what's important. Right? Here is the next part. He sets up the parameters, and now he's going to start really working on these are the individual steps. This is what you need to do. So let's pray this morning, and then let's get started. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your word. We pray that we would listen to you this morning. And Lord, we just pray that we would also apply it in your name. Amen. My dear brothers, take note of this. So again, if you underline or if you make marks in your Bible or if you got your phone out and you want to make a note, that's important because if James says, hey, take note of this, then probably this is something that's important because there aren't very many phrases. Matter of fact, there's just a handful of phrases in the New Testament where the writer says, hey, pay really close attention to this. So out of everything I'm writing you, take note of this. And he says, everyone... And that means that there are no exceptions. So we live in a world where if you can figure out how to be the exception to the rule, you're in a good place. And James says, everyone should be quick to listen. We could probably stop right here and just admit that for the most part, all of us have a problem with this sometimes, at least, right? James says, listen, you need to be quick to listen. Quick. Meaning, when somebody has a problem and they come up to you and they say, hey, I need to talk to you, you're quick to listen. You can ask my wife, I would let her stand up and give a testimony if it would help. That I'm not really good with that with her. And other people I get paid to do that with, right? But I don't get paid to do that with my wife, necessarily. But we need to be quick to listen. Hey, I need to talk to you, Donna. Boom. Quick. Hey, I need a second of your time. Now, most of us, we're willing to give people time as long as it fits in our agenda. I will meet with you next Friday. That's not quick to listen. That's quick to push away, right? Because between now and then, you think that person's going to find somebody to listen to? That's one of the big things when you do youth ministry and children's ministry is try to get parents to understand that when your kid is ready to talk, you better drop everything and talk right then because 5 minutes later, they don't want to talk. And they'll find somebody else to talk to. So if they come down and they say, hey, I need to tell you something, and you say, just give me 1 minute, by the time that you're ready to talk, they're moved on. And they probably went to their little iPad or their little phone or something and talked to somebody else. Right? Now the question becomes, as a parent, who would you rather them talk to, you or somebody else? And it's the same thing as a Christian. If somebody needs to talk, who would we rather they talk to, us or somebody else? And so James says, listen, this is part of the dance step. It's listen not only to each other, but listen to God. Listen to what he has to say. Slow to speak and slow to become angry. Slow to speak. Do you have more of a mindset of Mary where she pondered things? Right? She got all this download, all of this information from the angels. And what did Mary do? She pondered it. She wondered about it. She thought about it. She considered it, right? Or are you someone, when you get a download, you just start talking, start implementing. Thanks for the download, God. Now I'll just take it from here. See, one of the most dangerous places to be as a Christian is somebody who talks quickly. Because we talk as if we have permission for God, from God, to do things. That we have the download. Like God doesn't care. He gave it to us and then we're just going to implement it for him. That's not the way that God works. You understand that? There's a reason why God doesn't usually tell us everything that's going to happen in our life or in a period of our life on the front side. It's because he wants us to listen to him. He's got the plan. I know the plans I have. We've said that a million times. God has the plan. And so he looks at the whole dance and he says, do you know I have your dance step down pat and the next one that goes with it? And I have the people, I have it all ready to go. And then we get the download and we just go off and we just do it. See, people who speak quickly, they just give tons of information all the time. Ever sat with that person? They're just talking to talk. And they just keep telling you how much knowledge they have. And they just keep showing how much knowledge they have. All you have to do is turn on the news and you see that. People who have no earthly clue about practicality, they just have knowledge. This is what the polls say. This is what this says. This is what this has. I looked up this morning and I went to Fox News and I was looking down at the things. Do you know that California right now for the next 2 days is on high alert for a major earthquake? Anybody know that? If you're a science teacher, and I bet Don can tell us that, they say that the San Andreas Fault has a major earthquake once every 300 years at least. The last one was in 1692. We're way overdue for a major earthquake in California. Do you read your Bible? Because what's the Bible say in the end days, what's going to happen? Earthquakes are going to happen. Rumors of earthquakes. I have no idea, because politics takes over and is all that anybody wants to talk about. As a Christian, that's a prayer request if a good portion of our country is under a major earthquake warning. We don't want to live in fear, but we should be praying for things. We should be lifting things up. But people who are quick to talk, they just talk about all kinds of things. Right? We have to listen and decipher what we should be getting out of that. It's hard when you have people who want to run your life and they want to tell you how you should be doing things. We need to, as Christians, be really quick to listen, not so quick to talk. And then the last part of that is slow to be angry. Slow to become angry. Do you know what happens when you become angry? There's only certain reasons that people become angry. Most of it, when it has to do with people, is that things just simply aren't going the way that I want them to go. You didn't say what I wanted you to say. You didn't do what I wanted you to do. You're not who I want you to be. Right? And so we get angry when somebody is not falling in those three categories. There's very few other times that you would get angry. I don't know very many people who just walk around being angry all the time when people give them good things. You know? But if I'm disappointed at what you give me, I become angry. And so God says, here's the key to the whole dance thing, that you've got to pay attention to your dance step, not everybody else's. Key number one. Quit looking to your left, quit looking to your right. Look at you and what you need to be doing, okay? Then we need to also understand that, listen, you need to listen to people. You need to be for people. And you need to be slow in speaking, meaning that if somebody's coming to you and they're talking to you and they're spending time with you, that your words matter to them. And so you want to be speaking as one who speaks from God. I'm listening to what God is saying in this situation. I'm not telling you how I would handle it. What does God want for that person? Do you ever do that? Do you handle things in a way that you would handle it? Or do you look at people and you say, man, you know, I would handle this, but I think God wants you to do it differently. When is the last time that you looked at something and said, you know, I would tend to do it this way, but I think maybe God wants you to do it a different way. Quick example of that, because I love the fact that we look at the New Testament, we find the principle, we go to the Old Testament, and we figure out where it is. And you look at Gideon, and Gideon was told to raise up an army, and so he raised up an army. And God looked at it and said, you got too many guys, and they were already way outnumbered. So what made sense to Gideon, that's not exactly how God would do it. So where we would say, Gideon, you need to go get more men, God said, you need less men. And it gets down to the point where Gideon only takes with him 300 men. That doesn't make any sense. Walking around Jericho 7 times doesn't make any sense. So if all you're ever doing is giving people information from God that makes perfect sense, you might have a problem. Because we have a God who repeatedly does that, which does not make any sense. It drives financial people crazy to be a Christian. Because we're constantly thinking, hey, you got to count the cost, and you got to figure everything out, and you got to have all the details, and you got to be ready to go. And we serve a God who says, yep, you have to do all of that stuff, and then be prepared for me to do something different and way out. The reason to count the cost is so that you know you can't do it. You get that? There's a reason to count the cost. The cost is you can't afford that. You can't make that happen. You can't do it. And God says, but I can, and watch how I do it. And then he gets the glory. It's what drives doctors crazy. When all of knowledge says this is the way it is. And God steps in and says, but I'm bigger. I'm different. And so when we listen to people, we need to be looking to give them godly information. And we need to be not reactive in nature, which is really hard. Listen, when you fall and your step is 25 steps from mine in advance, I could care less. But when you fall and your step is right next to mine, now I care. And so then I get angry. And God says, listen, you've got to have a bigger picture. The bigger picture is, first and foremost, falling is part of the dance. The bigger picture is, listen, if you're focused on what they are doing or not doing, then you're going to get angry. And what happens with anger? He goes on and says this, for man's anger does not bring about the righteousness life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James says this, same thing that Paul says. And same thing that Jesus said. Listen, there's a seed planted in you. Right? You have an enemy that wants to stop that seed from blossoming. Right? From growing and blossoming. He cannot take the seed away from you. So Jesus makes it very clear. Nothing can pluck you out of the hand. Right? Of God. So your enemy looks and he says, I cannot stop the seed from being planted. I can't stop it from happening. But what I can do is stop it from growing. And that's to heap a bunch of stuff on you so that you sing songs, but you don't feel like singing it, or you don't believe the words of the songs. You hear a message and you think, that's for everybody else, it's not for me, I don't know how to apply it. You walk around life and you think, oh man, everything's awful. God says one of the things that does that is anger. When you look at a situation and you get angry, it stops you from being righteous. It stops you from living a right life. You ever notice that? You say things you don't mean to say. You do things you don't mean to do. You become something that you don't want to become. God says the way to handle that whole thing is quit looking at other people's dance steps. Look at your own. Look at your own. Understand that your dance step is so important. Who you are is so important that it can hold up the whole dance. That your dance step will affect the person to the right or wrong. But it'll affect the bigger picture. So that when you're not being who God wants you to be, that affects other people. And Satan wants to stop that from happening, and yet there's this desire for it to continually happen. God puts that in, like you just keep fighting. You want it to happen. Saints, I don't want it to happen. I sat Monday with a lady down at the center, and she was covered from head to toe in bed bug bites. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. It was unreal. It looked like a knife and just went all like I was just mutilating her skin. Crazy. And in the midst of this, I fell in love with this lady. Because her story is one of continually trying to fight and be who God created her to be. You see, when she was younger, she entered into a Baptist missionary society. They were sent out as a Baptist missionary. Her husband passed away in the middle of it. They let her finish her training, and then out of 45 students, she said she was the only one that didn't get placed. And when she asked why she didn't get placed, they said, well, you need to raise your child. You need to be a mom.
So her dream of being a missionary was ended. And she spent the next 50 years trying to figure out that desire that was in her, what her dance step is. See, when somebody tells you no, yeah, the tendency to leave, but I'm done, can you do it? And her story was one of trying constantly to get up and do something and then falling back and getting up and then falling back and getting up and falling back. And this lady, she's stuck in her house at 75 years of age, probably, in her mid-70s. She's stuck in an apartment. Nobody can come in the apartment. They banned people from going in her apartment, and she cannot leave. And she's been stuck there for months because they can't get rid of the problem, so she can't leave, and nobody can come in. She's lost all kinds of physical contact with people, and yet she's still clinging and fighting through her faith. I know God has a plan. I know that God has an amazing plan. I know that it's a crazy craziness to watch that happen. But part of that is being slow to anger. Part of that is rather than looking at my situation and using that as a reason to be angry with everything else and stop, how can I still continue on? When you're locked in an apartment by yourself with no contact with the rest of the world, how in the world could you have any kind of concept that your dance step matters? That it matters. And yet, I watched this woman be filled with hope. Especially this week, when for the first time her apartment's clean from bedbugs. Now she's got life again. How can I do stuff? What can I do? Where can I get involved? That's important. She didn't lose her dance step because of what happened to her. Continuing to do right living. 22 says this, do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror. After looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed by what he does. I can make this really quick because you've heard this a million times. Christians and most people in life in general are great at talking, very bad at putting things into action. Part of that is because we always think we're the exception. Our situation is the exception. What we're going through is the exception. James says, listen, there are tons of people sitting around talking. Today, there will be a million church meetings.
They happen on Sunday because that's what we're doing.
Lots of people talking about how to make things happen, what to do, how to fix things, how to get people into church, how to get people into small groups, how to. And then very few people will do anything because we feel good about talking. We talked about it. We will sit in Sunday school classes and we will teach or we will be taught and we'll feel good that we did our duty. But we'll leave and we do nothing. And so James says, that's exactly like looking in the mirror and walking out and forgetting who you're supposed to be. On Sunday mornings, we're taught, we're encouraged. This is who you are, be it. And we get in our car and we immediately forget who we're supposed to be. That's where Satan usually attacks you. Notice that? Is if you're not Carolyn, you just get to walk across. Right? But most of us who have to drive a little bit, you know where it happens? It happens when you get in your car. We immediately start tearing apart what happened at church. Right? We immediately start questioning what's going on, or we fight amongst ourselves. But by the time we get to our house, what's happened at church has been totally forgotten. It happens all the time. Maybe not here, but it happens all the time. We forget who we're to be. We are forgetting what we've been taught, and there is no desire to apply it because we come up with why we're the exception. So we hear God say, if you're praying, and you know that there is something that somebody has against you, right? Not you have something against them. If you're praying, you know that somebody has a problem with you. You felt it, right? Or you heard it. You know it. What's the Bible say you're to do? Leave your gift at the altar. Go and take care of it. That's biblical. We teach it. So I would like to ask, how many people have ever done that? That in the middle of your prayer time, you're praying about a situation and you stop praying and you go take care of it. Instead, we come up with an excuse for why they need to come to us. That's not what the Bible says. First, it takes two to tango, and it takes two to argue. Never, ever, ever won an argument where the other person wasn't at least trying to argue. It takes two to argue, it takes two to fight. When's the last time that you stopped what you were doing and said, hey, let's do this? We're taught that. We're taught you need to forgive, or you're not going to be forgiven. The way you judge is the way you're going to be judged. We're taught all these things, and we act like it's not truth. We act like it's not there. It's not going to happen. We forget what the Bible says. We forget who we're supposed to be. And that's what the message in this section is, hey, listen, 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 hear it. Don't talk about it, be it. We can talk in this church till we're blue in the face about how to get people in. By next Sunday or the Sunday after, you're going to see two TVs up here. We can play video in a minute. You're going to see all kinds of different things. Because we will be that savvy. Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo. I hope that you enjoy the videos that Will will be able to play for you. They will be absolutely part of what we do. It'll be great. But it means nothing if we don't do things with what we're giving. It means nothing if we don't go out and we don't be a Christian. Bill took all of that time. I watched him this morning and put it in that room back there. In that room back there, there are two 55-inch TVs. There's a snake. There's all kinds of HDMI cables. There's everything that we need to quit listening to me and listen to Joel Osteen today. Right? We could do that. But it doesn't do any good if it stays back there in that room. It doesn't do any good if we don't do anything with it. You have everything that you need to do your dance, to do what God has called you to do. You can quit coming up with excuses for why you can't do it and start coming up with why you can do it. Let me close with this. If anyone considers himself religious, that's what we just talked about, yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Either God is literally true and what he says is true, or we have to decipher through all kinds of things, which is what most people want to do. That the Bible isn't literal, it's just kind of guidelines, and just kind of, and then you get to decide what's true or not. Let me read that again, and I hope you get the implication of this whole thing. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. His religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. God says this. This is what's important to me. Love each other. Help each other. Help those who are less fortunate. Help those who can't help themselves. Help those who need you. Listen to those who need you. Right? That's what's important to God. Love each other. What isn't important is sitting around talking about how much we love each other while we do nothing. That's absolutely useless. Right? And then the last part of that is one that we all would rather not hear, and it's this. Keep yourself from being polluted. Jesus said this. You got to be in the world, but you don't be of the world. James says, what God wants you to do is not be polluted by this world. All of us have been polluted by this world. There are things of this world that we find very dear to us. That given the opportunity to sacrifice for God, we would have a really hard time doing. And James says, what's right and what's important to God is that you somehow maintain being able to live in this world, but be able to let go of the things of this world. Don't become tainted by the things of this world. Don't get so caught up in things that you can't remember who your God is. Because if you do that, then your religion becomes worthless. Worthless. So if people, you can't let go of them, religion becomes worthless. If you can't let go of finances, if you can't let go of things you have, if you can't let go of grudges, if you can't let go of all kinds of things, then your religion becomes worthless because God isn't who He says He's going to be. He doesn't do what he says he's going to do. So therefore, we're careful how we speak. We're careful how we speak, because what we want to do is we want to give people the right impression of our religion, of our Jesus. So we speak less. Let me end with Matthew chapter 12, verse 36. Would you know? Actually, let me start with 33. It says this: make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For the tree is recognized by its fruit. Timothy and I went horseback riding last Sunday, and it was great because he was leading, and I was riding a horse that you don't have to hang on with. And I have 200 apple trees, and so we went apple taste testing, horseback riding style. It was great, but it was amazing because the apples that looked really good, the really red ones, they were not good. They tasted awful. The ones that looked like they weren't ripe, the green ones, they were great, right? And so we went through and like we test tested a whole bunch of different apple trees, you know, which is a little tricky on the horse because you have to ride under and you know horses to stop so you can pick the apple and everything. But it's this concept, right? That listen, good trees produce good fruits. Bad trees produce bad fruit. It can look good. It's bad. Who wants a rotten, sour, awful apple? If you do, don't tell me. 34 says this: you brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. I hope you understand that we are inherently evil. Giving to our own devices, and our own vices, and our own pretenses, and our own actions, we're going to say things and we're going to be bad people. The only thing that changes that is God. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. Now would be a good time for us not to believe that the Bible is literal. But because I believe the Bible is literal, that God means what he says he means, I believe that we're going to stand in front of God, and you and I are going to be responsible for every careless word we said. God knows the intent of our heart. Imagine that moment. So we listen to the instruction that God has us for our dance stuff. We listen to the people around us. We're slow to speak to things that we don't know about. We're slow to speak to things that we're responsible because we're communicating what God wants for people. Because we're slow to speak and because we're listening, we're able to be slow to anger. Don't get upset when people fail. Because we know that that's exactly where God is going to work. We don't want people to fail so that God can work. What we want is to understand that, guess what? The person to your right or left, they're not going to affect your life. They're going to affect what you do because you joined up with them. We're slow to get angry about things that we don't know what God is doing. We're slow to speak. We're careful about what we say. So if I was going to challenge you on two things this week, you, not me, I have the temper for this. Right? Spend more time this week listening. You may have the plan for everybody's life in this church and everybody that you work with and everybody you're around. You may have a great plan for them. Listen this week to what God says about the people around you and to what the people around you are saying. Be slow to respond in those situations. Watch how less angry you be throughout the week. But choose your words carefully. If in any situation God said, you have 10 words to speak to this person, just 10, what would you say? How would you say it? That's important. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time. We pray that you just speak to us this morning. Lord, I pray that whatever I have said, Lord, you would give these people the ability to listen to it, to have listened to it, to sift through it, and to find truth. To find little nuggets that we can apply, Lord. Help us not to be just speakers of Christianity, but doers. Help us to be Christians. Lord, as we get ready to celebrate, what you celebrated with your disciples. We just pray, Lord, that you would just work in our lives. Point out the things that we need to take care of. Lord, help us, again, to put into action that which you are telling us. Help us to perfect our dance in your name. Amen.